Welcome to Minute Impossible. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to investigate with us the Mission Impossible franchise, 1 minute at a time. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Chris.
I'm Father David Mowry.
And I'm Eric Nash.
I like how formal David is.
Yeah, I do too.
He gives his full name. I like that. You're the first person to ever give their full name. You're not a follower. Look at you.
I've always marched to the beat of a different drummer.
I guess so. Well, welcome back, Father David and Eric. We appreciate you coming back for Minute 52. Minute 52, pickpockety minutes. And this minute begins with Billy lending a hand and ends with Naya being told to not turn around in a crowd.
Yeah.
All right. This is where we also get some stamp minutes. So you guys get the wonderfulness that is stamp.
He's
I love Stamper. His name is Stamp, but he calls him Stamper in the movie.
Yeah, which is very weird.
Yeah, and we're like, that's not a nickname for you. Don't usually make someone's name longer.
No.
Hey, the Stampster.
Yeah, last week a couple weeks ago we called him Stampy. The Stampster.
Stampy, yeah.
Stampmeister. There was a lot.
There was a lot of stuff.
Stamp is drinking a beer, having a cold one, and he's going to follow Naya as she goes to place the bet, and she's also got the disc, guys, the disc. She's walking to the door, and Billy's been told to not let anybody follow, and Billy does his own little slapstick here and opens the door for Naya and closes it right on Stamp. It's very slapsticky, and I've got a lot of notes on this, just the stamp parts of this.
Oh, boy. Well, first, can you clarify, is that an Afrikaans accent that he has? I have a hard time placing him geographically.
He is British.
He's British.
He is doing South African.
Okay.
Because I was like, oh, I didn't notice this last time when he was talking before, but I guess he hasn't really strung that many words together, really.
No, he's been like... man, a few words and one word here, one word there.
But in this, you really notice he's definitely doing South African.
Yeah.
Because at first I thought it was a bad Australian accent. I wasn't quite tracking with where those vowel sounds and were going.
Oh, it may still be a bad accent, but it's bad South African accent, supposedly. I don't know.
Having never met anyone supposedly actually speak in an Afrikaans accent, who can say?
I have a couple friends that are from South Africa, and they've been in America so long that it's very light.
Mm-hmm.
Not this, but I have heard that. You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of Lethal Weapon 2.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking.
That's the only time they've ever mimicked the South African accent. Mm-hmm. So yeah, this he hits him. He hits Stamp in the hand. Let's talk about this hand. We talked about it last week. Last week he cut off the tiniest tip of this guy's finger, and Stamp is acting like this boo-boo is like a broken bone or a vicious cut on his hand.
Well, you've heard of Achilles' heel. This is Stamp's pinky. It's the same kind of thing.
Oh, this is where all of his power resides?
That's the one weak point. Exactly. Everywhere else, hard as rock, but the pinky, that's his weak point, and Ambrose knows that.
Well, we talked about last week because Chris told us that when you have an open wound, you put a lot of gauze on it. So really we will give him a break on the amount of gauze that he has on his finger. It seems like a lot. See, it goes all the way down his finger. It's like, okay, calm down.
Well, that's similar to the cast I had to have as a kid when I got my knuckle crushed by bicycle handlebars that came down on it between onto blacktop. But so
were you doing a sweet flip?
What was that?
Were you doing a sweet flip?
No, I hit a rock.
Were you in a bicycle duel with your arch rival?
Oh yeah, exactly. That's what it was.
Were you gleaming the cube? I don't know. Is that bicycles? Do they do that? That's.
It was bike fu.
Yeah.
But the cast I had to have was all the way up to just before my elbow.
For your knuckle?
Yes.
Wow.
The only time I've ever had that kind of – I had rat gauze on my hands because – this is a fun story. It was like fourth or fifth grade. No, it was third grade. And they were doing a tug of war. But they didn't have – you know, remember that sturdy rope that everybody had for tug of war back in school, back when we were all in school?
Oh, yeah.
They didn't have that. They literally had baling twine. I mean, it was thin. It was thin.
That's funny.
And one team
everyone's
like,
fingers
started to
off.
Win, and the rest of the team let go, and I didn't. And it ran through my fingers so fast, it burned all of my fingertips.
No.
And I had to go and have, and then when they put,
you could go on a crime
you should have seen the white mittens that they put on my hands. They wrapped my fingers in so much gauze. And I had to be like that for a week.
A week? Wow. With marshmallow
fingers.
That's
just crazy.
I couldn't touch anything. One hand had a thumb. The other one, for some reason, they forgot to do the thumb. And so I had no thumb on that hand. So I had a thumb on my left hand.
That twine just cut through everything, huh? A thumb on one hand and no thumb on
the
other.
It was ridiculous. I was in a play at that point, and I was in. We were in dress rehearsals. And I had to walk around in this play as a kid with these giant mittens. And I was like, they'll be off in a week. So it won't affect anything then. But yes, it's too much. I don't know what we were doing at this time about gauze. Did we just have too much gauze and we needed to do something with it?
There's a surplus of gauze. Quick, use as much as you can. We'll be overwhelmed.
Send it to Australia. Those people are always cutting themselves. All their animals can kill them. There's so much blood.
Now, certainly, I'm sympathetic to stamp. I mean, when you have a wound on any part of your body and you bang it like that, that's kind of smart. Would it open the wound, though?
No.
It seems like you would need to really slam it in between. Like, if you took two doors and slammed it on the finger, that would open the wound again. But just banging it on the flat part of the door like that when he's walking at a moderate pace doesn't seem like it's enough to cause it to bleed.
I would like each of you to take a shot at listening to when he gets hit. What does he say? I think he says, Enar. That's what I heard. Okay. Tell me, do you guys tell me what you think you heard? Because when he gets hit, you hear bang, and then you hear, Enar.
There it is.
Okay, I do hear Enar.
Okay, it's two for Enar.
Enar, yeah.
I shouldn't have told you, because now it's like, you know.
It's like Yanni or Laurel.
Yeah. Well, you just said Laurel twice. Okay, so he yells Enar. He must be his god. His South African god that we don't know of.
No, Nar is his god. E is just the...
What is E? Nar.
Means my.
E! Nar!
Oh. E is South African for why. Man. It's like, why, god? Why? I've made that sound. It's the same sound that Danny Zuko makes when Sandy slams the door in his junk, and he goes, and he falls down, and it's from Grease. It always makes me laugh. This happened to me on a tonight. It's just stories about me getting hurt.
Bring them on.
I went on a trip with my kids and my wife, and we went to we were going to Disney World, and as I was getting in the like a Suburban to go to the airport, my foot slipped because it was icy, and it like ground down the side of my muscle on my leg. So it kind of pulled that muscle.
Oh gosh.
And it was like, and it started to swell up and turn purple. And we were on the plane. And I'm literally like, there's nothing I can do about it. So I like had it up. Like I had my foot up resting on like, you know, sitting with my leg crossed in the aisle. And the drink cart came by and hit my foot.
Oh, no.
And I may have yelled Enar. I yelled something so bad because when they came over, they gave me free drinks for the rest of the flight and the next flight. They felt so bad. And I was like, it's okay. It's not your fault.
Apply him with favors. Keep him from complaining.
Well, they saw it and they thought they'd done it because my foot was purple. Where I'd ripped a couple of some muscle, not badly, just, you know, pulled it far enough.
They were afraid you were going to choke slam the flight stewards up against the wall like Stamp does.
Yep. Oh, that's it. Stamp's got a sweet move on this. I got to admit,
that's a good question.
Stamp's kind of formidable. I can't wait. Hopefully at some point we'll see him fight.
He's so formidable Billy stops saying what he was going to say before he's even touched.
Is Billy playing the fool, or is Billy a fool? Yeah. Is he really choking Billy, or is Billy playing it up?
Billy strikes me as the kind of guy who plays it up. He knows that he comes off as oafish and buffoonish and leans into it. That's what makes him a valuable member, air quotes, of the Impossible Mission Force.
Because they knows if he does this, he's killing more time where Stamp's not following Naya.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Gotcha. Okay.
So now my question with Billy is, like I said, I haven't seen this one. I haven't seen the next one. I haven't seen the one after that. Wait, where am I now? But I've seen the most recent one.
Why don't you just tell me the ones you have seen? Stop telling me the ones you have.
The last one.
Well, oh, bookends. Perfect. You're actually, of all people, you've actually done pretty well.
Yeah.
Go back and see the bookends from the back. Go backwards. See the most recent and then go backwards. And at some point, you'll just lose interest. And then you'll like one again.
And so I certainly knew that Simon Pegg was a big part of the latter half-ish or so. Mm-hmm. So and Billy is, you know, he's like Emilio way back.
Rest in peace.
You know,
he's fine. He survived that.
He's filling that role in the group, right? That, you know, just like this, smaller guy in the group. That's,
well, Jack was useful.
Yeah,
Jack could like hack a elevator.
Boy, he could.
I don't know what Billy can do.
Yeah, he flies.
Billy
a helicopter.
Has shown no abilities other than flying a helicopter. But I think that's
closing a door.
Respect. I don't know.
Get
closing a door.
Closing a door on Hugh. Exactly.
I'm there to get choked.
but to me, he almost even looks a bit like Simon Pegg, and with an accent too. You know, so at that point, I was just really connecting him much more so than with Jack.
Just like the Australian Simon Pegg.
Yeah,
he's definitely goofy, but he's not. Mm-hmm. He's not fun. He's not funny. He's trying to be funny, whereas Simon Pegg's a little more subdued. He's just he just kind of exudes goofiness.
Yeah. Simon Pegg is funny. He's not trying to be funny.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. We were talking about that before. Comedy's hard.
Hmm.
Yeah.
And how?
Comedy is hard. All right.
So then we get our second British slang of the week here.
Mm-hmm.
Because
the loo.
He asked for the loo. And this one has no Aztec connections, as far as I can tell. And in fact, no one really knows where this term came from, according to my research. The best guess is that Waterloo was a place where cisterns for outhouses were made, and they were common throughout Britain and England around the turn of the 20th century. And so loo became a shorthand way of talking about the crapper.
Yep. That makes total sense.
Yeah, totally.
Brits are big on taking not the first part of the word, but the last part of the word and making that into the new word. You're like, all right, that's fine. Here's something I got for you. Before we get to that, if you go back to second 13 of this minute, when Stamper gets hit, he's wearing a black cast on his hand.
Yeah.
Oh,
and then he's not.
He sure is.
Is that a stunt cast for when he's being hit by the door?
Could be.
He's wearing a fingerless glove. You can see the pinky, but it's definitely black, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I see something, but it looks like it's like a shadow because it pulls away from his hand as he lowers down, as he retracts that hand.
I'm going to look. Let me see it. Let's see.
Because the next shot is literally Billy's shocked face.
Yeah.
So it's second 13 and second like 13 and a half. It's gone. But that's two different shots.
But it's also not there in seconds drinking the beer.
No, it's only it's literally from second 11 to 13. Uh-huh. There, he's wearing a black fingerless glove.
Yeah, he is.
All right. Yeah, I think it's a stunt. I think it's more padding. I really do.
I think so, too.
Because they're really worried about that door. Too. It's a dangerous weapon in untrained hands.
I guess. And Billy, Billy's not
Billy,
trained.
Oh, Billy, no.
Sweet, sweet, simple Billy is not trained.
Oh, you know what? I was feeling a little bad for Stamp because Billy slammed the door into his hand, but I think Stamp gets exactly what he deserves because one door says pull, the other door says push, and Stamp is going in the wrong way.
He's going in the pull.
Yeah, there's clearly a handle on the other side of that door, and he just ignores it. He is a loose cannon.
Yep. It's another reason we don't like him, other than his anger toward Naya. Is the fact that he doesn't know how to use doors right. And his accent's weird. It's off-putting. Chris, at second 36, we get our old friend, the Van Nubbin.
The Van Nubbin, yay.
Hey, Van Nubbin.
I missed him.
A little nubbin on top of the van. Oh, yeah. It's very famous. It's famous from last week. We also had a wall nubbin in the first few episodes. It was literally a thermostat, but it became the wall nubbin.
It's good to see that nubbins are getting the recognition they have long been denied.
We are pro nubbin here. Good. Mission Impossible, Minute Impossible, whatever our show is called. I can't remember.
Monkey Impossible.
The Impossible Minute Podcast. And we see the van nubbin, and Luther goes running out of it. I'm like, why is the van so far away? Why is it so far away?
I think that's the most action Luther has in all of the movies.
Oh, I think. No, except for the most recent Fallout. Remember, he did run from that car to where Benji was then run back.
That's right. And there's a moment later where he does, that we'll come up for you in a few minutes from now, or like half an hour from now, when he runs out of a van again.
He's always running out of vans.
Yes, that seems to be his main purpose in this film.
Well, Van Running Luther, they used to call him back at the Academy.
Yeah, that is true.
I'm looking at the, I'm watching the replay as it goes by. They're going to, he runs out of the van because I guess he's got to give this precious camera to Ethan or Naya. So we'll get to that. Mm-hmm. And then we see a group of people, and Naya's walking through the crowd to go place her bet. And there's a name on the right, a Brent A. Williams. What I found, the only thing I could find out about Brent A. Williams was he's either a trainer of horses in Australia, which there is a Brent Williams.
Wow.
There's also a famous family of Williamses that breed horses. So that could be the dynasty they're talking about. Like, because, you know, it says like number 12, that could be like his, like the Brent A. Williams section, you know, like they named it for him or something, like his family. I don't know. It's vague. I couldn't find a lot. I did find out there is a channel in Australia that just talks about horse racing, and it's weird. I'll put the video up in the Impossible Minute Force when this episode airs, because I was watching it just going, they're just talking about horse races. It's not ESPN. It's an Australian show, and they had this guy on. He was a guest. He was like, I forget his name. His name wasn't Brent. It was like, you know, Ross Williams. And I was just like, this is all about horse racing? John, is it horse that master. Big of a... And they were talking about horses that no longer made them money, and they had like 20 up for sale. And he's like, these horses can all go for a good price and win races. I was like, what? Wow.
That sounds like a great use of Patreon money to me.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yes, join our Patreon so we can buy a horse and name it something.
Ethan.
Well, you can let the Patreons vote on naming it.
Oh, Wall Nubbin. Van Nubbin. And round the corner, Van Nubbin.
I got 3-1 odds on Van Nubbin.
He's a winner.
Van Nubbin.
That horse is going to win. And the end of this minute is Ethan miraculously David Blaining right behind her. And poof, he's just there.
Spy magic.
And now he doesn't have a coat on either. He's got his shirt on.
Yep, he took his coat off. I think that's good spying. I think you change your outfit a couple times. That way someone doesn't get used to, the guy over there with the binoculars in the coat is now a different guy. You know what I mean? Like, you may notice somebody. I don't know if Stamp knows Ethan. I assume he knows what he looks like.
Yeah, I mean, if he would, if what's-his-name was dressed up like him at the beginning. If Ambrose. Was
oh
like
yeah,
him.
You're right. Oh, he does. Yeah, he knows what he looks like. Yeah.
Well, this is really dangerous.
Yeah, I was gonna say, this is kind of dangerous. He shouldn't really be out there. He should have worn a mask out there.
It should be the Billy Show. Billy should be doing this whole thing.
Exactly.
Poor simple Billy should be doing running this entire thing.
What they really
operation.
Should have had is Ethan in a mask with an Australian accent. So that way we could have gotten Tom Cruise in some sort of silly makeup with an Australian accent. That
like it's an old man.
Yeah, exactly.
That'd have been good.
Or dressed up as a woman so that he's, you know, not distracting. So
no, I'm not Ethan Hunt.
Ambrose isn't.
He doubtfires it?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, deity.
That's one of those moments where you could have had Tig Notaro come in and be Tom Cruise.
Oh, yeah.
When you were talking about how he magically appeared. So I was thinking more along the lines of Lestat, that he was playing Lestat again.
That's a good one.
Louis.
He's giving her the choice he never had.
Actually, he didn't. He made her do it even though she didn't want to do it.
That's true. You're right. He did.
Just like in the other movie. Just like in Vampire with an Interview.
Vampire with the Interview. Vampire with the Christian Slater.
Interview that vampire. Well, this is a good place. Just like Ethan, I'm going to magically transport us into the tech of the app. Here we go. Guys, look at my hands. Look at my hands. Look at my hands. Poof, we're gone.
Whoa!
And here we are. And if you'll notice, I've switched all of your wallets.
What? I'm not Eric Nash. How did you do that?
I'm glad I have this wallet. It's got a lot of money. I didn't have any money in mine.
That's right. Eric Nash is full of money. I gave both all your money to everyone else. Eric, you have no money anymore.
Aww. That's like the studio here. They got no more money because they spent it all in this movie.
Oh, poor Eric. All right. I'll magic it back at the end of the tech of the app. Chris.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to put you on the spot. What do you think? Tech of the app.
Tech of the app. Hmm. Ethan's ability to magically appear out of nowhere and lose a jacket in the process.
Yeah, he's that poor jacket somewhere.
Yeah.
Probably on a horse.
Probably on a horse.
He probably put it in the bathroom so Stamp can wrap his boo-boo in it because he needs more gauze. Father David, what about you?
I think my technique of the ep here, this tech of the ep, is the blundering help. It's a classic of the spy genre where someone on the team is pretending to be the butler or the waiter or the servant. They're trying to be helpful, but they spill the tray of champagne glasses or they slam the door on your injured hand in order to hold up the person who's up to no good. And Billy is very good at being the blundering help because he's got half of that already down. And I'll let you guess which half.
Well, I've already found the exact screenshot we're going to use for this minute because it's literally a Stamp holding his hand with his head raised back. He's just said Enar. And Billy has his mouth open like, oh, what did I do?
Oh, it's just, like, did I do that?
It's very Billy Madison or very Tommy Boy.
That's funny. Is the episode going to be called Enar?
Yes, it's going to be called Enar! Exclamation point.
Better. Ega.
Ega. Watch out for snakes. Father David gets it.
I got you, Jonathan.
You got me. All right. Eric, did you go?
Yeah.
Would you like to?
I want to. I want to talk about the technique as you have alerted me to that way to go with this. The technique of the choking.
Oh, it's amazing, so good.
Choking. Very one-handed. Effective.
That's not a lot of blood. Can we? I mean, it's not a lot of blood. It's just I love that it's in this movie because I mean, obviously, we have to have these scenes for the later in the movie. But I think it's just so funny. You don't know, Eric, but it will. It's a pivotal part of the movie at the end. You're not going to believe it, but the nubbin comes back. Not the van nubbin, but the stump nubbin, stamp nubbin.
Check off stump.
We can call him Stump from now on.
Stumper.
Yeah, it comes back. So you'll have to watch. Now I've convinced you because you'll have to watch the movie. How does this finger gauze come back?
You got me on
I don't know.
Two.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, mine is going to, now that it's the technique of the Ep Week.
Oh, technique.
My technique is, God, you guys picked both techniques, like the best ones. I guess,
okay, John,
you know,
you just agree with me.
I can, but I like to go rogue, nation, and I'm going to go with the way Luther barrels out of that van.
His running technique, yeah.
It's a good technique to get out of the van in one motion and close the door. You can't leave the door open. He's got other digital cameras in there. Those things are precious.
They're expensive, man.
It'd be gone in a trice.
it's got like 12 megapixels. It's been gone.
12 megapixels. Holy
you almost
smokes.
Call them mexapixels.
Mexapixels. it's like the cheap Mexican equivalent of a megapixel.
Please, we prefer the budget option as opposed to the word cheap. We don't like to use that word around here.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, budget.
This is
it's
budget for the
friendly.
Budget-conscious digital camera connoisseur.
Low rent.
Oh, Chris. Oh, that's a great place to end. Thank you, guys. Find us at our normal place, MinuteImpossible.com, on the Impossible Minute Force on Facebook. That's where we talk. Both Eric and David are members. They will talk to you about anything you want to talk about. If you want to talk to Father David about technique of the apneak, you can. And if you want to talk to Eric about the genitalia of blue people, he's all for it. I'm sure he has other things he'll talk about, too.
Don't get those mixed up, please.
Please. Well, you know what? Ask the other person about it, because it's more fun. It's more fun.
Do not want. No.
No. No. You've made this so uncomfortable. Yeah. All right. Well, until tomorrow, I've been Jonathan.
I've been Chris.
I will have been Father David.
And I've been Eric. This minute will self-destruct.
Inar!
Inar! See you next time on the show. It's done. It was so fun. Thanks for listening to Minute Impossible. Possible. Minute Impossible. Minute Impossible. Minute Impossible.